And so today we're talking about our theme for the year is intimacy with the Holy Spirit, developing a fellowship with the Holy Spirit, developing intimacy. And 2 Corinthians 13 verse 14 is where we're reading, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something. This morning, all things are possible. I'm not kidding you. This morning, all things are what? Possible. Anybody who believes, you got it. So, 2 Corinthians 13, 14, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all and the communion of the Holy Spirit. What is communion? It's really so amazing how the Holy Spirit will say things very important only once or twice. For instance, you must be born. How many times did Jesus say that? How many times? Once. Must be born again. Now he's talking about, telling us about the communion of the Holy Spirit. What is communion? Communion means sharing. You know, we have Holy Communion. Holy Communion means we are sharing in the body of Christ Jesus. We are sharing. As a body, we are sharing. That's what communion really means. It means to share. It means fellowship is not sitting next to one another. I can sit with you without having fellowship with you. Fellowship is sharing. Fellowship is participation. It's communion is like common, having something in common. That's what the communion of the Holy Spirit means. It means sharing your life with the Holy Spirit, having your job in common with him, having your family in common with him, having your everyday activity in common with him. He's being part of it and being your leader, your guide, your wisdom, the empowerment you have, the inspiration you have, that you're living in him, really, living in Christ. That's what it means. To live in Christ, moving him, being in him, is talking about intimacy of the deepest form that we have with Christ. But you know, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, but it's the Spirit of Christ. Christ came in the flesh, he came back. Not the thought, not the coming from the sky. Because he said to his disciples, I will come again to you. I will not leave you comforted. So when the Holy Spirit came, that's the Spirit of God, that's the Spirit of Christ. In fact, the Bible uses it interchangeably. It calls him the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord is that Spirit. So it's to share your life with Christ Jesus. It's to share your life with your spirit is you now. The Spirit of Christ is his Spirit. And that's the Spirit of God. That's not another. It's to share your life every minute with him. The believer needs to develop this sharing, this participation, this intimacy, this communion, this friendship with the Holy Spirit that has been sent to him. To him he has been handed over by the Lord Jesus Christ. We must therefore, first of all, recognize his presence. I was sharing with Anu, you know, I said, your wife, God gave you your wife, Chioma. I said, how would Chioma feel when you neglect her? How will you feel if your husband neglects you? You wake up in the morning, he's out doing what he likes to do. He doesn't talk to you. Comes back, he's doing his thing. How will you feel if your wife neglects you? And God gave you your wife. God gave you your husband. But you neglect them. You don't talk to them. They don't participate in your life. There is no sharing. And God gave us the Holy Spirit. And we neglect it. So we must recognize that this is the Spirit of God right here with me. He's with you in the morning, the afternoon, the night. The scripture says he will be with you forever. He's going nowhere. We must recognize that he is there here with us and stop ignoring him. Because we are not conscious of his presence. I want you to listen to this. Because we are not conscious of his presence, we naturally ignore him. And we are not naturally responsive to him. We do not know even if there is any Holy Spirit around us. The result is powerlessness, unfruitfulness, struggle, anxiety, tears. And you know, if you neglect him, the natural thing for you to do is to rely on yourself without even knowing it. And then, like I said some time ago, you create your own religion. You know, you can create your own religion coming out of your human mind. Because Jesus said, he said, these things they will do thinking that they are serving God. There are things we do thinking we are serving God. You create your own religion and it satisfies your natural senses. You make your choices like that and use scripture to back it up and things like that. He may have nothing to do with it. And so the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. And lean not what? If you are not conscious of his presence, you are not going to trust him. Nothing. You're not going to trust him. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways, do what? Acknowledge him, which means to recognize him. Be conscious of his presence. Recognize him. And he shall direct thy path. Then he warned us, be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. You do know that it's not the challenges of life that defeat us. Because challenges come to everybody. And they must come. They do come in different forms. While you are dealing with one, a new one can arise. If you haven't had that experience, come, I've had it. Another one comes from another way. Sometimes there are four or five of them at the same time, like, are you going to kill me now? It's coming from everywhere. Trying to overwhelm you. That's the devil's trick, to try to overwhelm you. If he tries this, he doesn't overwhelm you. It's not overwhelming you. Adds another one. So that in distracting you, you can't concentrate no more. That's a strategy. But that strategy, you can knock it out by refusing to be distracted. Can I hear amen? You refuse to be what? Distracted. You focus on Christ. No matter what. So, challenges of life do come. Our Lord Jesus told us, he said, in the world you shall have what? Tribulations. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many. He didn't say few. Many. They do come, my brothers and sisters. There is no amount of prayer that will stop tribulations from coming. Because the scripture says they must come. Offenses must also come. So people will hurt you. Say things that you don't like. People will do things you don't like. They will all come. But it is not those challenges that overcome us. What overcomes us is who is directing you at those times. Who is directing your footsteps at those times. And if your comforter is neglected, if your guide is neglected, you take over and guide yourself. You can use the Bible and guide yourself. Because it does things that are not originating from human mind. Doesn't come from there. Doesn't come from there at all. Doesn't come from there. Lala. So one sister that had cancer all over her, so almost died. Few months to live. The Lord told her, I said, do you want to live? You say, yeah. He said, you need to forgive everybody. You carry a lot of, bitterness in your heart. He said, Lord, I've forgiven my mother-in-law. Forgive. He said, you need to purge yourself of that. Your heart is full of bitterness. She didn't know. She didn't know. She said, Lord, I forgot them, Lord. He said, no. Every single time you remember them, something in you, you need to purge it. He said, how do I do it? He said, you need to purge it with the blood. He said, purge it. I purge myself with the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't learn that in Bible college. And the woman did that and got healed in 1 hour. In 1 hour. That was it. That kind of wisdom doesn't come from people. It doesn't come from people. He has unbelievable wisdom. He has incredible power. He has two unbelievable power. And his wisdom never lines up with our wisdom. My brother is in Dokwe, my brother. If he's doing something, is he not him that knows what he wants to do? Come on, church. It's his spirit now that knows what. If God is doing something, is he not God that knows what he wants to do? You can't know it. You're not God. His wisdom is, let me tell you, it's amazing. If you really get in communion with him, you will see wonders. He will show you things that you will never have thought of. You will never have thought of it in all your life. But those are the winning things. The important thing is who is guiding you at those times? On who are you relying at those times? Do you know that David said, even if I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear what? Why? He said, I recognize the person that is with me is too powerful. Man, when you begin to recognize his presence, you will never be anxious again. Fear is gone. Never, you will never go to bed and not sleep. Not when you know who is there. Abba, is it not what Paul said? I know in whom I believe. He said, none of these things. I know who I believe now. And things can go south. Even for a church. A church is a body. Churches pass through difficult times like individuals pass. There are lean times for churches. Churches pass through. Because you are in the will of God doesn't mean everything. No. Do you know when Israel went into trouble? After the king of Assyria sent to arrest Elijah. Because he was telling the king their plans. So he sent his armies to arrest him. And when they came, Elijah asked God to blind them. So he led them into the center of their enemies. So when the king of Israel said, shall I kill them? He said, how can you kill them? You didn't capture them. God brought them here. He said, feed them. Throw a party for them. Do you know after that, Israel went into severe famine. Immediately after that, that's when they started eating their children. Immediately after that, they went into severe famine. That the two women made a deal, we eat your child, you bring your child. That was what happened. Read your Bible. That's what happened. And then the very king of Israel that was praising Elijah then said, he said, by tomorrow I'm cutting off his neck. And they went to Elijah. He said, don't worry about that dog. He said, by tomorrow, a bowl of what? Eh? Bowl of flour we sell. Can you imagine going from this miraculous move of God to severe famine where they are eating their children? Life is full of difficulties, even a church. Those are not the times to begin to chicken out. Those are the times you trust in the one that is leading you. Can I hear amen? 2 Timothy 4:16. The first time I was brought before the judge, no one, what? Came with me. Everyone abandoned me. Do you know that rejection can hurt? It's so terrible if you are rejected. But if you are rejected, come and see me after service. I want to show you by the grace of God how to deal with rejection and sit on top of it. Rejection is not an issue. Not an issue at all. It's your frame of mind. It's what, look, everything is what you call it. Everything what? It's what you call it. And if you call it rejection and keep calling it rejection, it keeps affecting you. You need to change what you call it and everything will change your mind. I was telling a sister, I said, you are failing in your school because you are calling that thing, you are calling your boss, your enemy. Say, the man is working against me. He won't let me pass. I say, you will never pass. Not because of that man, but because of your mouth. I say, you will never pass. So I'm telling you the truth. Stop praying, you are wasting your time. Because this thing, the heart controls the hand and this. Out of the abundance of the heart. I said, as long as you are calling that man your enemy, he's working against me, he won't let me pass, you will fail again. And I said, as long as you are seeing that, doing that, watch your spirit, there's no faith, it's only fear. I said, you want to deal with that? Change what you say. Call that man your friend. Declare that man is my friend. Because the Bible says, if a man's way pleases the Lord, even his enemies, what? Make them to be at peace with him. If you begin to walk in faith, you please the Lord, that man becomes your best friend. Say, declare he's my best friend and declare he will help me to pass. Because you reign on earth. Ah, you are not getting what I'm saying. I say, you change that thing, this is change. You don't need prayer. It's you. Clean you. I said, when you start speaking these things, I'm telling you, watch your spirit, there'll be joy. Your spirit will waken because now you are walking in faith and reigning as Christ has put you to reign over circumstances. You see, that direction of the Spirit of God. That's the kind of wisdom we can give. You can tell you that thing you're calling that thing, that's what is killing you. Stop, stop, stop calling it all out. Huh? But the devil will see to it that you call. So it is, the Paul said, I was abandoned, I was rejected. Nobody came with me. Everyone abandoned me. But may fire fall on them. Come on. Am I in the right church? May fire fall on them. What do churches do today? Read your Bible for yourself. Read your Bible for yourself. He said, may it not be what? Blessing people instead of cursing them out. We go to our jobs, we curse people out, we did it, we curse them. Paul said, no, I don't want it to be counted again. But the Lord stood with me and gave me strength so that I might preach the good news in its entirety for all the Gentiles to hear. And he rescued me from certain death. Let's continue to read what he did. Yes, the Lord will also do what? Deliver me from every evil attack and will bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. All glory to God forever. And that's this. Brethren, it is important that you know who is with you. He said, these things are not the issue. He said, please don't. The reason we curse people out is because we don't know who is with us. Well, you know, Jesus said to his disciples when they said, call fire on heaven. He said, no, you don't know the type of spirit you now have. Look at the language of a man who knows who is with him. He said, the Lord, even though they have abandoned me, even though they rejected me, the most important person is still with me. And he's the one that will deliver me, not those people. I'm telling you, if you have rejection, come after service, we'll talk. Those people are not your blessing. They are not your deliverer. They are not your provider. Why are you sad? You should be rejoicing. Do you even know whether it's good riddance? Is anybody hearing? Sometimes you should call Pastor Victor and say, I want to do Thanksgiving. They rejected me. Pastor, I really need Thanksgiving. Gave him. Only God knows what he saved me from. Yes, and most times it is true. God knows them. You don't know them. You think they're your friends. They are not. You don't know what they will do tomorrow. He knows where they're headed. Look at Joseph, Acts chapter 7, verse 9. And the Patriarchs, moved with envy, sold who? Joseph into Egypt. You are talking of what they did to you. They have not sold you yet. Have they sold you? No, you are still here now. But they sold the man. They sold Joseph into Egypt. Let's read the next sentence. But God was with him. Let's read it again. But God was with him. Come on, let's read it again. But God was with him. Come on, let's read it again, church. But God was with him. One more time. Come on. But God was with him. But they showed him his part of the fact that God was with him. Troubles come to all of us. Unfortunately, God was with him. They showed him. I'm not done with that scripture. You took out my own. Okay, let me read this one. And the Petras moved with envy. A lot of people do stuff with envy, you know that? For the fact that you dress well in the morning, they are not happy. I'm telling you, stop trying to live up to people's expectations. You are just punishing yourself for nothing. Stop trying to impress people. You have only one audience in this world, the Spirit of God. If you walk before him, he approves what you are doing, you are good to go. Men mostly will not. If you do right, they say it's wrong. You turn to do left, they find left is wrong. Then you sit down and say, yeah, I've been sitting down. Then you stand up, they say, look at you standing up. Then you walk, they say, why are you walking? Then you go backward, they say, you going backward, shouldn't go back. It is demons fighting you. Galatians 1:10. Does anybody know it? Can you put it up there? Before we are coming back to this one. Galatians 1:10. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please who? Men? For if I yet please men, I should not be what? Servant of Christ. You can't be. You can't be. You can't be. You must know this truth. People will find fault, criticism. If you're, oh my God, if you're a pastor, you are a basket of people find fault. We should have done it like this. They should do it like this. They criticize the choir. They criticize Pastor Victor for wearing this with this. Why didn't he wear a jacket? Criticize Kemi. Criticize Pastor. Why is he even wearing white? See, they sit in congregation and say, why is he wearing the white? And they criticize me for being handsome. Why should this man be handsome? Believe you me, heads of ministries, ask Obika, God will bless Obika. Let's clap for Obika, I'm telling you. This man is criticized morning, afternoon, and night. That is, if Obika raises his leg, why? He sits down, why? They call him, we need our money. Why didn't you give it to us today? Where are they going tomorrow? They have no policy. In fact, you must give it to me. I think Obika will get two mansions in heaven. What I'm trying to tell you is that we're all prone to these things, all of us. There's no place you awake with matter. There's nothing you do to please the world. The world is under demonic control. You want to please the devil, it's impossible. So the Bible said, for do I now, am I persuading men or God? Who am I supposed to be interested in what he thinks about it? Is it not God? He said, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, what happens? I should not be there. Look, as a pastor, you just know what the Spirit of God told you. Forget about what people are talking about. Forget about it. They don't look, certain things Kumuyi taught me. I was telling my wife, it is now, it's making sense. God is my witness. I was telling my wife, I said, that man knows what he's doing. Certain things he won't talk to you. Certain things he was doing, I criticized him. You know when I left? Now, look, you keep growing in your spiritual life, you come to a point, you understand what your pastor was doing many years ago. You understand why he's doing what he's doing. Many years, you won't even understand it. You keep growing. Today, I wake up and say, oh my God, this is exactly what this man was telling us. Many years ago. Praise the Lord. So, Acts 7:9, we go back to Acts 7:9. And the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. And, verse 10, and what? Delivered him out of all his afflictions. What did Jesus say? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them. Delivered him out of them, Lord, they are wasting their time. They are wasting their time. And gave him favor. And gave him what again? Wisdom in the sight of who? Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house, prison or not. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is so powerful. Can you imagine? They are looking for Moses to kill him. He said, you want to kill him? I brought him here. Yeah, they are looking for him. He said, okay, you raise him for me. You pay the mother. Only the Spirit of God can do that stuff. They were looking for Moses to kill him. They were looking for him to kill him. And this is the most powerful army at the time. Looking for this small boy to kill him. And the mother took him to a small place to hide him. The boy was yelling, ah, mommy, I need milk. This one said, this boy, you kill me. Yeah, he went and and finally he said, I can't keep his mouth shut. You know, God made that boy cry. His ways are not God made him cry because God wanted to bring him out. He's not hiding. He maketh a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Don't care who your enemies. Don't care who your enemies. He makes it. He's too big. God is too enemy. Who is enemy? He's too big. So he made him cry. Bring him out. Bring him to Pharaoh. No hell will drop except I say so. Bring him out. So the woman kept him there and ran away. And God brought Pharaoh's daughter from where she was, said, come and see him. Immediately she saw, he said, this is one of those people we are looking to kill. But instead of killing, he fell in love with him. That's what God can do. He loved this boy so much that he adopted him. And then started paying the mother. Come on, church, you didn't get this story. You didn't get this story, I'm telling you. You didn't get this story at all. We lose peace a lot because we ignore him. We ignore the Spirit of God. And we follow our own wisdom. We get frustrated. We fail over and over. Oh, we don't sleep because nothing is working. And we don't even know what's happening. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Who on this earth will plan to save Moses by the same person looking for him? The natural thing is to hide him away. God's way was to bring him out. What this woman? The woman saw this one. He said, this is a beautiful, wow. Never seen any child like that. God said, yeah, you carry him. And he became heir apparent. That's not the only story. He would have taken over from, the girl loved him so much that he bequeathed that position to her. Bequeathed this position to him. There is nothing the Holy Spirit cannot do. We ignore him to our own peril. What is against us, we can't handle. Only him can handle it. So we delivered them, all of them. And the early church was such a powerful church because they recognized his presence. They did. Look at Acts chapter 15, verse 27. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. 28. For it seems good to who? I'm not hearing you. To who? I didn't hear you. To who? Does it show you they recognize his presence? They said, this thing we are doing seems good to him. And so what's the order? First, it is good to the Holy Spirit. We know he approves this. And then us. But in this present world, we reverse it. Once it seems good to us, we force the Holy Spirit to do it. Yeah, we use him. We use him now. I say no. The first thing is, does it seem good to him first? That's what is important. They recognize his presence. It seems good to the Holy Ghost first. He's the one running this show. He's the one guiding us. He's the one instructing us. He's the one bringing wisdom to us. It seems good to him. Praise the Lord. Church, I said praise the Lord. You know, before we became a covenant church, I prayed my heart out. I spent hours seeking God. I said, Lord, never will I do a thing if you are not there. Never. I don't have any ambition in this life. I said, Lord, I don't have any single ambition. I don't want to be anything, not interested in anything. All I want is this what you want? Night and day, day and night, night and day. And the Lord said, yeah, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. He said, I'm moving you there. So it's my plan for you. And then I went and told them in the district, I said, now, you people say we should apply for covenant. Now we're applying. They say, Chinedu, we're not giving it to you. And the Lord said, step aside. I will take it from here. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. He said what? Step aside. I will take it from here. Then I came back. My wife said, you know, the Lord spoke to me. And the whole pastors, we say, I said to them, if we don't have agreement on this, I want to show you what the Spirit of God does. And I told him, I said, okay, I'm not talking about covenant again. I'm done. No. But you people went to convention, passed it as your bylaw, and then told us we can apply. Because we're buying a building. You don't want to own buildings again. But because this is one of their churches, don't want to, you know, human being. So, brethren, I kept quiet. Listen to this story. A few days after, my boss called me. Said, Chief, I'm coming down to see you. I said, sir, about what? I said, covenant. I said, sir, we're not talking about it. I don't want it. He said, but I'm coming to talk about it. I said, if you say so, you're my boss. He drove down. Came with his secretary. Obika is a living witness. I came. We sat down. He said, Pastor Chinedu, do you want covenant church? I said, no, sir. It's not what I want. It's what he wants. As I told you, the Lord told me this. So how can I tell you the Lord told me something for just for talking sake? I don't have any ambition. I said, not what I want. It's what he wants. He said, Chinedu, I called California to get their apartment, you know, called them to back him. They said, give it to Chinedu immediately. He's the highest international office. They said, give it to Chinedu what? Immediately. Obika was there. Then the man started to pray. Listen. He said, it seems good to the Holy Spirit and us that this church will be a covenant church. Obika is a living witness. He said to me, Pastor Chinedu, this is the will of God for you. Praise the Lord. And this is the beginning, though. So we need to understand that the order of things is it has to seem good to the Holy Spirit first, and now to us. Whether in your private life, in your decisions, you cannot ignore him. Can't ignore him. Can't ignore him. He's the one that makes things happen. And to enhance our intimacy with him, just like every other relationship, we need to be truthful in dealing with him. We need to be truthful in what? Dealing with him. You know, sometimes we carry our 419 to God. You cannot deal with the Holy Spirit deceitfully. That would be the most foolish thing you do, because you are dealing with somebody who knows your heart, knows everything, knows why you are saying whatever, knows where you are going. You know some people who try to trick God? Adam. Adam, this you did. Say, no, it's the woman. Yeah. You know another person, Saul. Saul, God told you, say, no, I brought these things to do sacrifice for God. Trying to trick God. And you know what happened to Saul? He lost his authority. Don't play games with the Holy Spirit, I beg you. You must be sincere. If you fail, tell him, stop making excuses. He knows you failed. If you're not happy about something, tell Lord, you know I'm not happy about it. You already know it now. I'm not happy about this. If you don't understand it, say, Lord, I don't understand this. Still doesn't make sense to me. He's not looking for a perfect person, but he's looking for a sincere person. Because none of us is perfect. Don't deal deceitfully with God. If you want intimacy with him, if you are deceitful, you won't get that intimacy. In any relationship, the key to intimacy is being sincere with one another. Once deceit comes, the intimacy is on life support. It is hard to restore confidence if it's broken. And number two, there are words you use for somebody, you kill that relationship. It will take God to restore that relationship. There are some words you use that belittle somebody so much, that his heart hurts. So much. In a relationship, we must be very, very careful. Words weigh tons. You can't use words anyhow for your husband or your wife. There are things you tell your husband, you kill him. You kill him. It's a struggle for the rest of his life. The devil will use that thing to be fighting him all the time. You will hear that voice again. It's war. It's battle. You did all of that. Sometimes in anger or something, throw this thing, pam, pam, pam. And when we're talking, you won't be honest and say, I was the one that. One sister will come to me, then in Nigeria, you're talking, the husband is not going to church. Your husband is not going to our church. So one day I visited them. Hey, Pastor, welcome. He brought me this, served me this. I said, how about your husband? He said, Immediately I knew where the trouble, she was the trouble. You can't treat your husband like that now. Come on. Isn't that the man that is your husband? What he brought to me, I lost interest, I lost appetite, I lost everything. I wanted to get out of there. I didn't want anything to do with that thing. I'm telling you. Call this pastor thing. It's all outward show of worship. It doesn't help at all. If we're dealing with God, let's learn to be sincere. You cause yourself a lot of harm if you try that. Because we go to God and we try to excuse ourselves. And then sometimes we make up our minds what we want to do and we want to use God to support it. And when trouble comes tomorrow, we say, God, if you understand me, shout hallelujah. It is demonic to try to trick God. It's satanic. It's what the devil does. He will deceive you to try to deceive your maker. That's that much you can act. Acts chapter 5, verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled our heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Why did the devil make you do this? Why? You know who you are talking to? My brothers and sisters, I want to remind us something. That the Holy Spirit only works to manifest the counsel of God. He will not manifest your counsel or my counsel. God will not put up his anointing on man's wisdom. It will never happen. Because his word says that the wisdom of man comes to nothing. He can't invest in it. I don't care how religiously we dress it. That's why people keep fasting and fast, killing themselves for nothing. They don't want to address issues and be sincere. God cannot invest his power on my wisdom or flesh. For flesh will profit. And he said so. It's a dead end. So he will not invest in it. He will only invest in his own wisdom. So everything God does is to advance his will, to manifest his word. That's what the Spirit of God is doing. To perform the word of God, not my word. No matter how wise my word is, he will not perform. And if I know that much, then I need to acknowledge him and then walk with his wisdom, because that's what he will perform. Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Unless the Lord, what? Builds the house. They labor in vain who build. So they will build Said, it didn't say they will not build. You know, you can build a big ministry. I'm not kidding. You can build a big church with thousands and it's not God. You can build with oratory. You can build with good music. You can build with all manner of stuff. Even this psychological talks they give, what they call it, motivational talk. You can emotionally attract them. You know why emotional beings, which will be natural beings, you can emotionally attract them. Actually, emotions is very powerful. And that's what Paul was saying. He said, we don't speak with persuasive word of man's wisdom. Man can use persuasion and persuade you to do it. That's why salesmen make you buy what you don't need. It does happen. So people can build. But unless the Lord builds it, say they are wasting their time. And then those of us who don't sleep in the night, unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake, what? In vain. Verse 2. Can we read verse 2 together? It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, and to eat what? Bread of sorrow. You know what it means? You wake up very early, you won't sleep. On your bed, you are eating bread of sorrow. You are so sorrowful for they did me this, did me that. God didn't do this for me. It's a waste of time. Say, God will give you what? Sleep. Because he will take care of everything. Take care of everything. I want to hear amen to that. Ephesians 1:11. Furthermore, Ephesians 1:11. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. Not my plan, not your plan. So the Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:10, that is why interested in building a relationship with the Holy Spirit, we must be interested in him revealing God's plan to us. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Carefully what? Because that's where his power is going to work. Not outside of that. Now, the part two of this message is that the New Testament worshipers are those who worship God in the spirit. The Old Testament, they worship God in their flesh, because they were not born again. Most of the text of the Old Testament will tell you about how people did this in their strength. But in the New Testament, we're told to be strong in the power of the Lord. So we worship God in the spirit. When I mean worship, I just don't mean choir and things. I mean our service to God, our relationship with God, our worshiping God. It's by our spirit, not by our strength, not by our power, not by our strength. The New Testament worship is strictly a spiritual thing. That's why your emotions and feelings don't really play a role. It's strictly a spiritual thing. And Jesus said so in John chapter 4, verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is. When true worshipers, which means this hour is coming. It wasn't there before, then it's coming. The hour cometh, and now is the hour when true worshipers shall worship the Father in what? Spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship. Not worship the Father in flesh and might or man, but by your spirit. Because you are born again. You have a new spirit. Romans 1:9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with what? I didn't hear you. With what? I must hear you. With what? Don't run away from it. With what? Come on, church. With what? Louder now. With what? My spirit in the gospel of his son. Jesus said, God is seeking people to worship him in spirit and truth. Paul said, yeah, I serve him with my spirit, not with my flesh. I serve him with my spirit. I'm born again. He gave me that new creature to serve him with. Not with my flesh, for flesh will probably be nothing. He said, I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. And you know, when we serve God in our spirit, then we don't walk in the flesh. You can't serve in the spirit and walk in the flesh at the same time. You either walk in the flesh and forget the spirit, or you walk in the spirit and forget the flesh, but not both of them. But the only way you can walk in the spirit and deal with the work of the flesh is to walk in the spirit, is to serve God in the spirit. And you must understand what it means to serve God in the spirit. Look at Galatians 5:16. This I said then, what do I say? Walk in the spirit. What do I say? Walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 25, the same Galatians 5, verse 25. If we live in the spirit, then let us also do what? Walk in the spirit. Walk in the spirit. Walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You cannot walk both in the spirit and in the flesh at the same time. You either walk in the flesh or in the spirit. And part of walking in the flesh is ignoring the Holy Spirit and going by your human understanding, creating your own religion and doing your own stuff, which is good in your eyes. But the Bible says that those are ways that are they are right before men. But the end is word of death. Why? If you follow the flesh, you shall surely die. But you follow the spirit. You follow the spirit. You cannot walk in the spirit except you develop communion with the Holy Spirit. It's not possible. It's not possible. He's the one that will make you walk in the spirit. He's the one that's the power that worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. You can't. You need to develop. You can't ignore the Holy Spirit and do the things of God. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. You cannot walk. I cannot walk in the Spirit except I have communion with the Holy Spirit. I can't ignore the vine and try to produce fruit. It's not possible. And that's what many people do. They ignore the Spirit of God and they are walking in their flesh and they read Bible in the flesh, tapet it in the flesh. But at the end of the day, watch me now. Their emotions is ruling them. Flesh is ruling them. The same thing they were doing before they got born again, they are still doing all of it. Because they walk in the flesh. And they create their own religion in their head that justifies them. And then they substitute worship in the spirit with outward show of worship. So they think, I pray a lot. I do this. I do others. It's about, in their equation, there is nothing that Christ is doing. It's I. And they decide what they want to do. It doesn't seem good to the Holy Spirit. They don't care. But it seems good to them. Praise the Lord. It doesn't seem good. They don't care because they're not conscious of him. So they decide things without saying, does this seem good to him? They walk in the flesh. They walk in the flesh. When you talk of walking in the flesh, we think only about sex. No. The main issue is about walking in human wisdom. Human thinking. And all those things now produce every other thing you call work of the flesh. It's all coming from there. Because all the issues of the life come from the heart. That's where it's coming. That's why the scripture says, wherever you see quarreling and fighting, there is lust there. It's there. Deny it or not, the Bible says it's there. All evil work is there. So, in order for us to walk in the Spirit, my brothers and sisters, we need to recognize the presence of the Holy Spirit. We need to recognize his guidance. Only those who are led by him live the life of children of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. We must be led by him if we want to live the life of a child of God. You can't live the life of a child of God when you are not conscious of the person sent to guide you now. It's not possible. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. I told you how when we were in 170, And then four square, they had problem with the West Fargo. It's not, they were not West Fargo at that time. They were Wachovia. You know these banks, they keep taking your money and they keep falling. I told them once, I said, you know why people have problems? I said, you are taking poor people's money. Overdraft, 24 hours, you take $36 because of $10. I said, that's why your bank keeps falling. I told them. They didn't like it, but I told them, I said, keep falling. People, this one, buy over. You're buying over. You're stealing our money, buying over. I write a check. Only $10, you take $36. So what kind of deal is this? So they had problem, and then, you know, we are owing them almost $1 million. And we didn't know. So they now said, either we pay them $1 million or they take the property because they are done with us. And I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, now they want to take your property. What are you going to do about it? He said, what property? I said, the church. He said, no, it's your property. I said, no. My property. No, it's the house of the Lord. He said, no, it's your property. And I said, Lord, you know you are owing a lot of money. How are you planning to pay $1 million? He said, I'm owing nothing. I said, no, you are owing. He said, no. He said, you are owing. And you better make plans to pay because they will take it. Now they think God's serious. I said, Lord, this is your work. It's not my work. They don't call it the house of Chinedu Emmanuel. It's the house of the Lord. He said, but you took over from me, you are in charge. I said, how did this happen? He said, how much are you paying in the loan? I said, we're paying only the interest because we're 7.something% interest. I said, we're paying only the interest. He said, who told you to pay only the interest? He said, if you trust me, can I not pay more than the interest? But since your intelligence is guiding you, I have nothing to do with it. He said, I don't get involved in something that is not committed into my heart. You don't acknowledge me. You don't see me. He said, why are you even paying the interest? I said, that's the much money that I say, yeah, you depend on the money, not on me. Is my Holy Spirit money? I said, no. He said, who is the source of everything? I said, you. He said, why are you doing that? He said, let me now tell you, you are no more even walking in faith. That one got me final. He said, you are in flesh complete. So I called Stella by phone. I said, Stella, you write additional 10,000 and send to them. We're paying it interest and then, put 10,000. Stella said, Pastor, where is he coming from? I said, he told me to do so. He's the source. His wisdom is not our own. He doesn't work with what you have. He works by his power. And she wrote the check till today. He never bounced. Immediately that thing got there, the money came and paid it off. Then I got bold, I said, make it 12. Somebody shout hallelujah. I got bold, I said, what? This thing is working, make it 12. I said, Lord, I make my boast in you. You are the Lord, my strength, my source. And then I woke up and I'm making my boast in him. And he said, okay, now I'm going to refinance that thing for you. I said, I want to see the interest rate you will get. He got 4.4% from 7.something%. Refinanced it. By the time we were leaving, that almost $1 million was almost 200,000. He paid it. How much effort did I make? I'm asking you. How many times you heard me here announce to you people? Contribute money, we are owing. Have you ever heard it? I'm asking you. But he paid it. When he takes over, you don't struggle. You flourish. You just watch and see the glory of the Lord. It becomes a story. I'm telling you, we miss a lot when we don't have communion with him. I want to end with this, that your communion with the Holy Spirit will build your spirit man up and make your spirit man have ascendancy and dominance over your flesh like nothingness. Is that revelation of divine wisdom that the Holy Spirit feeds you, feeds your spirit. That revelation, he feeds your spirit. That word, he feeds your spirit, is the food that feeds your spirit. And your spirit begins to be strong. So you can walk in the spirit. And that communion will make you begin to identify his voice, know who he is, talk with him. So when you are in trouble, you know how that thing will end. He will tap you and say, don't worry about that. One time I was producing blood. When I mean blood, a lot. 2 days or three. And I said, Lord, what is going on? He said, don't worry about it. The devil is trying to harass you. I'll take care of it. I went to bed. That's for 5 years ago or 6 years ago. How was it? It stopped. Like tap. He said, he said, don't worry about it. He said, the devil is trying to harass you. Preach the gospel I brought you to preach. That was the end of it. That's how faith comes. By hearing, because I had it. My confidence was solid. And like tap, pam, never, nothing. Pum, no pain, nothing, no sin. Because he said to me, don't worry. He said, the devil wants to harass you. I'll take care of that. If I didn't hear him, I'll be running over the place. And perhaps doing something that will never solve the problem. So 1 Corinthians 2:6. Am I communicating to you? 1 Corinthians 2:6. This is message I'm reading. Message I'm reading. We, of course, have plenty of wisdom to pass on to you once you get your feet on firm spiritual ground. But it is not popular wisdom. The message we want to pass to you is not popular wisdom. The fashionable wisdom of high price, who? Expert theologians that will be out of date in a year or two. Continue. God's wisdom is something mysterious that goes deep into the interior of his purposes. You don't find it lying around on the surface. It is not the latest message, but more like the oldest. What God did, listen to this. What God determined as the way to bring out his best in us. As the way to bring out his best what? In us is the wisdom the Holy Spirit is teaching you. How God wants to bring out his best in you, in us. Long before we ever arrived on the scene. The experts of our day haven't a clue about what this eternal plan is. The plan of God to bring out God's best in you. If they had, they wouldn't have killed the master of the God-designed life on a cross. That's why we have this scripture text. No one's ever seen or heard anything like this. Never so much as imagined anything quite like it. What God has arranged for those who love him. But you haven't seen or heard it. You have seen and heard it. Why? Because God, by his Spirit, has brought it all out into the open before you. The Spirit, not content in flit around on the surface, dives into the depths of God. He dives into the depths of God and brings out what God's plan and brings out what God planned all along. Whoever knows what you are thinking and planning except you, yourself. The same with God now, except that he not only knows what he's thinking, but he lets us on into it. God offers a full report on the gifts of life and salvation that he's giving us. We don't have to rely on the world's guesses and opinions. We didn't learn this by reading books or going to school. We learned it from who? Come on, we learned it from who? Who taught us? Person. Come on, person. That's communion with the Spirit. That's intimacy with the Spirit. Person to person through Jesus. And we are passing it now on to you in the same first-hand personal way. The unspiritual self, just as it is by nature, can receive the gifts of God's Spirit. There is no capacity for them. They seem like so much silliness. Spirit can be known only by Spirit. God's Spirit and our Spirit in what? I want you to read it with me. God's Spirit and your Spirit in what? Come on, read it again. God's Spirit and your Spirit what? Come on, God's Spirit and your Spirit in what? Now, supposing you ignore that communion. Supposing you ignore it. In open communion, verse 15. Spiritually alive, we have access to everything God's Spirit is doing and can't be judged by unspiritual critics. Let's bow our heads to prayer.